All right, and we will move on to the sixth case of this morning, which is Lee versus Gonzalez. Ms. Jackson?
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court, my name is Shannon Jackson. I'm here on behalf of the petitioner, Shilong Lee. This petition arises from an immigration case in which the respondent, Shilong Lee, he was the respondent in that case, applied for relief from removal from this country based on his well-founded fear of persecution for his participation in an illegal Christian group in China. The immigration judge denied that Lee was persecuted on account of his religion and determined that he failed to provide sufficient corroborative evidence. We submit that this finding was not supported by the record. As you know, the standard of review in this case is one of substantial evidence. In reviewing the record as a whole, it is clear that the immigration judge's determination was not supported by reasonable, substantive, or probative evidence.
And so what specific evidence did you have that would suggest that he would have been persecuted had he not, you know, ran away from the authorities and fled the country?
Yes, Your Honor. Along with Mr. Lee's testimony, which the judge specifically found to be credible, he also presented a letter from his pastor in his church in China, indicating that he was a member there, that he had a leadership role, in fact, and that he had been singled out because of that role. He also submitted several photographs.
And specifically, how was he singled out? Because I know the pastor had problems.
Yes, the incident to which the pastor's letter refers is an incident that Lee testified to where he and some fellow church members were in the process of trying to get their church group legalized. In China, you can register your church group if it meets certain requirements. They were originally denied their request. They went back to make a second request, and the officials told them it would be in their interest to tear down the old church building, which, incidentally, Mr. Lee's grandfather had built or been instrumental in building. When Mr. Lee and his associates went to the grounds to prepare it for doing this, they were stopped by government officials then, who began yelling at them and telling them, you know, that they were not allowed to do this. An altercation broke out in which one of the government officials started to make a physical threat towards one of the female church members, at which time Mr. Lee intervened. There was no actual physical contact between Mr. Lee and the government official because the official ended up falling. But it was at that time that Mr. Lee fled the scene. He later saw government officials approaching his home, at which time he escaped out a side door or a back door.
Right, but there's no evidence that anybody else in his congregation was harassed after he left, or, you know, any threats to his family after he left.
Actually, Your Honor, he testified that after he left, his father was actually arrested and detained and interrogated on his whereabouts.
That's right. That's right. I forgot that.
And also
But his father wasn't harmed or beaten. He was released, right?
I believe the testimony was that he endured some physical harm during the detention, but it was a brief detention, if I recall correctly.
Ms. Jackson, I wanted to ask you whether you are essentially saying that this record was enough as it was without any further corroborating evidence, or whether you're suggesting that further corroborating evidence was unavailable, because that's pertinent to the revised standards in the Real ID Act.
Yes, Your Honor.
The standard for contradicting the finding of this IJ that corroborating evidence would have been available is now a higher standard than it was before, but the standard for thinking about whether it's necessary isn't addressed by this particular subsection of the Real ID Act.
Yes, Your Honor. According to the Real ID Act, the standard is now that the immigration judge's findings regarding sufficiency of corroborative evidence.
That's not quite what it says. It says no court shall reverse a determination made by a trier of fact with respect to the availability of corroborating evidence, unless the court finds that there would be compelled. So this immigration judge says, I find that corroborating evidence would have been available. So we are to accept the finding that it would have been available. So that's why I'm asking you, unless, of course, there was, unless we felt compelled to conclude that it was unavailable. That's a high standard. So that's why I want to know whether you think it's whether there simply was no need for any more corroborating evidence on this record, even though some would have been available, or whether you're actually trying to assume this now heightened burden about availability.
Well, Your Honor, that's a good question. I believe, if it's possible, the answer is both. I think that the evidence on the record is sufficient to sustain a claim of past persecution and a well-founded fear of future persecution. I also believe that the immigration judge erred in saying that other evidence was available besides the evidence which is in the record, because the immigration judge seemed to indicate that Mr. Lee should have gotten affidavits or letters of support from friends and family members or other church members. In fact, Mr. Lee did testify that he attempted to contact some of his fellow church members who were with him on the day of the incident where he fled the scene. However, he was unable to locate them, which is not surprising considering the climate that they are under there.
So Mr. Lee's argument is that they all had to go underground, essentially, and it wasn't so easy to just write a letter to them?
Well, he's unaware of what has happened to them. He was unable to locate them. His parents also left their hometown and went to a bigger city.
Yeah, and what about relocation within the country?
Your Honor, in this case, the immigration judge did mention that Mr. Lee had been in Fuzhou City for some time without harm. However, Mr. Lee testified that this was because he was in hiding. He was not working. He was staying under the radars as much as possible. At this point, upon returning to China, I think that Mr. Lee would submit that relocation is not feasible. This court has recently discussed the implications of illegal immigration in China in the Leon versus Ashcroft case, where this court noted that in China, when one emigrates illegally, one is subject to torture and severe punishment if one is returned.
Now, what about his parents? Were they underground?
His parents.
Has anybody come after them? I mean, what's their status? Because I assume he's, you know, in communication with them.
Yes, Mr. Lee testified that his parents at first were being harassed about
after they relocated.
No, before they relocated. Once they've relocated, he testified that they are now afraid to attend their church services and they are afraid to find jobs. They are also trying to stay under the radar.
His testimony established that he was able to peacefully practice his religion without interference from the Chinese government from 1994 up until when he was baptized, up until 2000 when this incident over the church construction permit occurred.
Yes.
So essentially the only incident we have here that you're basing your claim of past persecution is the confrontation over the building permit, apparently, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but you must take into consideration the totality of the circumstances when the Department of State reports indicate that starting in 1999, the Chinese government has embarked on a very serious crackdown against these underground or unregistered religious groups, and it is in light of those circumstances that we submit that this claim would be sufficient. And I'd like to reserve some time
for
rebuttal. Thank you.
All right, we'll hear from Mr. Price.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Marvin Price, and I represent the respondent, Alberto Gonzalez. May it please the Court. The key issue in this case is whether the record compels a finding contrary to the immigration judge's finding that the appellant provided insufficient evidence to meet the standards for amnesty, withholding of removal, and the Convention Against Torture.
You know what worries me most about the immigration judge's opinion? It appears on page 15 of this opinion in the version that's in the appendix to the petitioner's brief. The immigration judge says, it appears that the government officials never mentioned religion as a basis for what occurs, and it appears more likely that they were angry with the respondent for interfering in government business and for insulting the government official. Now, the reason that worries me is because, A, this event happens at the site of the church that they are going to now tear down and rebuild because they've been going through this, and it seems impossible actually to me that a dispute over this church was utterly irrelevant to what was going on, and yet that's what the immigration judge seems to think.
I have two responses to that, Your Honor. One is that it may be true, and I think it's fair to say that it is true, that religion was related to what occurred at that site.
So already you're saying something different from what the immigration judge found.
Well, I think what the immigration judge is saying, though, is that with respect to the arrest of Mr. Lee, the evidence did not clearly indicate that his arrest was based on his religious activities.
But how can we say that when he's recounting the incident, and we have the background of the efforts of this little group to rebuild their church, which is a very public way of demonstrating your religion. That's way different from just going to someone's home and quietly observing a religious service that the authorities can kind of turn their heads to one side about. And, I mean, I just can't see how in this record we could characterize the altercation with the female church member and his intervening and the man falling down and all the rest of these things that happened that day as being not about the religion, not about their effort to establish themselves in public.
Well, I believe that what the immigration judge was saying was that when they came to the site, they did not seek out Mr. Lee. They did not approach him directly. They started taking tools from the site. There was a dispute between the officials and a female member. A female member was slapped. Then Mr. Lee intervened in what was going on. According to Mr. Lee's testimony, he then told the officials that he would call the police and report them, which I submit is a very unusual thing for someone to say who says that they fear being persecuted for the practice of their
religion. Well, he may have been hoping that the police would interfere with these other government officials, but when it says they were angry with him for interfering in government business, well, the government business in question was to prevent these people from building their church. So how can we, I guess I think this parses things much too finely. When the government has decided not to let you build a church and you are opposing them, isn't that about religion?
But if you look at the sequence of events that resulted in his arrest, What
right, he's trying to stop them from stop. He doesn't want them to stop his group from taking the steps they need to take to build their new church, which involves, I guess, demolition of the old church first.
But he doesn't testify about the officials saying anything about his religious activity.
Of course not. Why did they need to say anything? They were there in the church site. They're supposed to say, and now we're on the church site, we're going to prevent you.
Well, I understand
the obvious. I
understand the concern that you have about that. However, I think that the immigration judge's decision was based on the specific sequence of events that occurred, including the fact that the official fell and hit his head and then said arrest this person, indicating that this was partly the result of anger at what had happened in terms of him hitting his head. So there's a specific sequence of events that aren't necessarily connected to his religious activities. But the second point I would make about all this is that in one respect it doesn't matter, because as has been discussed already, the record is insufficient to show that Mr. Lee had objectively reasonable basis for fearing persecution. There's one incident that occurred. There's no indication that that incident would have resulted in him being tortured or physically abused. There's nothing, as has been pointed out already, that occurred to Mr. Lee between 94 and 2000.
Right, but the State Department reports, as Ms. Jackson points out, suggest the Chinese government itself was taking a more aggressive position. And we have a different case, which neither party cited. I think it's called Turyang, in which we say if the only way somebody can live in a different city is by hiding out and not appearing in public, it doesn't really suggest that it's a safe place to be.
And but I don't
that's what he did in Fuzhou City, then that's looks like that other guy. I think that guy was in Guatemala, but anyway, same idea.
But Your Honor, I don't believe the country reports do support Mr. Lee's argument. The country reports say several things. One thing they say, as I believe you know, Your Honor, is that the Chinese government has been focused on what it views as cults, and such as the Falun Gong.
We see plenty of Falun Gong cases, yes, we know.
And that's actually inured to the benefit of so-called traditional religions like Christianity. Second, what the country reports say is that whether or not house churches are harassed varies greatly from one region to another. It depends significantly in which geographic area you're in as to whether the house churches are harassed or not. There's nothing in the record in the country reports that in Fujian province, house churches are harassed. As a matter of fact, the UK country report states that unregistered churches and registered churches operate together side by side, and that unregistered churches are not harassed in Fujian province. So the record does not show that in Fujian province, house churches were harassed. Furthermore, the record in this case, in this particular geographic area where Mr. Lee lived, indicates that he was not harassed from 94 to 2000. And, in fact, the building incident occurred because they were not denied a permit. They were not denied their request for a permit. They were told, essentially, that they might be able to get a permit. They might be allowed to register their church. So that was actually a positive thing that occurred with respect to that second application. So I think looking at the record as a whole, it's insufficient based on Seventh Circuit law. What occurred to Mr. Lee is not sufficiently severe to provide a basis to conclude that he had an objectively reasonable fear of persecution.
Yeah, I mean, I think your point is very strong with respect to past persecution. You know, what I have focused on is reasonable fear of future persecution, now that he's stood out from the crowd, as it were.
Well, there's no evidence that with respect to what would happen in the future that it would necessarily be any different, for example, than what happened to the priest, in which case, based on the record, the priest was arrested but then released on bond. I don't think that's something that that incident would rise to the level of persecution, and there's no reason to think that it would be any different with Mr. Lee.
Okay. Thank you very much. I believe Ms. Jackson has a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd just like to emphasize one point that I mentioned in my brief on page 14. The latest Department of State profile of asylum claims for China, published in June 2004, reports, quote, the number of detentions connected with house church memberships increased markedly in 2003. Intense scrutiny and harassment of house church and unregistered Christian groups is widespread, especially in Fujian province. And that's a direct quote from that report. I also want to just emphasize that as to counsel's point regarding the fact that the second time Mr. Lee and his group went to the government to ask for permission to register their church, they were not denied outright. They were told, you might want to consider tearing down the old church first. However, what they were told does not seem to mesh with what actually happened. If the government knew of this and approved of the group rebuilding, then why were these other officials there harassing them about it? And it looks like my time is up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.